Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to For Geek's Sake. My name is Al Sterling, coming to you from Factor Studio. Oh, yeah, no, you're getting the sigh to say.
Yeah, I was going to say.
No, the sigh was coming today.
Yeah.
It was.
It's coming.
What a week. Seriously, I have been on vacation. I go back to work tomorrow. And so
you weren't at work today?
No, I haven't.
And you couldn't have lunch with me?
No, I was busy.
Doing what?
Grouting tile.
Oh. Mm. All right.
I would have much rather gone to lunch. Anyway, we're doing a This Week in B-Rolls because literally everything happened this week.
Everything.
All of the things.
We left the studio last week. We're like, hey, I think we'll just do an episode just on Deadpool. Yeah, let's just do an episode on Deadpool. Just Deadpool. Great. And then just all of the stuff. And we're like, okay, well, no. So we're doing a This Week in B-Rolls. Joining us in the studio, we are always thrilled to have friend of the show and some kind of random producer credit, I think. Mr. Elijah Leffel is joining us today.
Yeah, that's me. What's up?
Also joining us, we have producer Dan.
Hey, everyone.
And our beautiful co-host, Danielle.
You say I'm beautiful, but you don't act like you think I'm beautiful.
Nope.
Oh, boy.
I could, but I need to. Nope. Let's start off talking about some Deadpool. So there's spoilers. There's not many spoilers.
I saw this on Valentine's Day.
I did. We saw it my wife and I. I think you guys went out just by a hair, producer Dan. But yeah. My wife and I, our Valentine's Day was burritos and Deadpool.
We did chimichangas and Deadpool.
Right. So you
guys, that's how you do it right.
I did Deadpool, and then we went and made chocolate at Ferris and Foster's.
Oh, all right. That was bad. And actually, Elijah also joined us.
Tacos and Deadpool.
Well, I got free burritos from Chipotle, so that's...
Deep fry that crap, dude.
Listen. I don't think they have a deep fryer at Chipotle.
No.
Although
no.
They should.
No.
They really should.
That's why Tijuana Flats is better.
Yes, that's right.
Boom. Said it.
All right. Anyways, so
I
Deadpool.
Know, controversial. So, a couple of things we need to discuss here. First of all, do not take your goddamn kids to see Deadpool.
Okay, let me tell you something. I have never seen more children in a movie theater that wasn't for a freaking Disney movie. And I was like, this movie's rated R. And then the movie gets started, and it's gratuitous.
It's super
everything.
R.
Everything is gratuitous.
Everything is gratuitous. It's gratuitous gore, gratuitous bad language, and gratuitous boobies, like out your ears.
And there was a wiener.
Yeah.
Wait,
yeah.
Where was the wiener?
On Deadpool.
Mm-hmm. It's not like a great wiener shot for the poor guy. Mm-hmm. It was after the accident.
Oh.
It was rather flattering, I'd say.
Yeah, no, good for him.
I guess I didn't.
Good for him.
I guess
good
you on guys Ryan. All saw it and I didn't.
I noticed.
That's
interesting. Listen, it's Ryan Reynolds. I'm not going to apologize for it.
No.
Oh, that movie was so good.
It was amazing.
Oh,
but
my
seriously,
God.
Listen, here's a tip. If your 12-year-old tells you they want to go see a rated R movie, perhaps just do a cursory check.
Okay. No. Mm-hmm. They weren't 12. These kids were like 5 and 2. Someone had a 2-year-old.
The theater I was at, there was a mom trying to come in with 3 kids between the ages of 5 and 10. And they kicked her out.
No one kicked
wow,
them
really?
Out at this
yeah.
theater.
Because there was a line to get into the actual auditorium there. And as she was in line, she had already bought her tickets and everything. She was about to walk into the auditorium and they were like, nope. Out. You can go get a refund at the front. We're not letting any kids in here.
I wish that the
so,
theater
yay,
I
yay AMC.
At. This couple, no, hold on. This couple came in and it was like not even 2 minutes, maybe 1 minute before the movie was going to start. And he's like sticking his kids through the railing because they're sitting in the middle in the front row. And he walks through the aisle and asks people to move so that his 3-year-old can have his own seat.
Did they move?
No.
Good.
Did you have kids next to you?
No. I had a very funny old man and old lady couple
nice.
Where he was hip to everything and she was just a bitter old woman not laughing at all. It was a very, very funny to listen to them interact.
Well, and I will say this. If you want to bring your 12-year-old, 9-year-old, 4-year-old to go see Deadpool, that is your right. You have every right to be a bad parent.
Okay. Maybe wait till it's on DVD so you don't make everybody else uncomfortable.
You really should do some fucking homework though. You really, really should. However, the biggest story with Deadpool, however, is the ridiculous opening weekend. $134 million opening.
That was before
weekend.
Sunday. Now it's over $150 million.
Is it over cleared $150 million?
And they said it's the top opening rated R film of like all time.
And the top February opening of all time.
And the top superhero solo film. So not Avengers, but
so they've literally broken like
every record.
Several records.
So here's the other interesting part that I want.
Can he get an Oscar for this? Because he freaking deserves it.
They don't give Oscars to superhero movies.
I know. Yeah. That is such BS, because let me tell you what. He was amazing.
Mm-hmm. Now, I read this really interesting interview with James Gunn. And he was talking about Deadpool and why Deadpool worked and what happened here. Because, you know, Ryan Reynolds, if you're not familiar, Ryan Reynolds has been fighting to get Deadpool made for a long time. He's got producer credits on it. And let me tell you what, he earned those movie credits.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he did.
And the thing about this is, no, the conventional wisdom in Hollywood said that a rated R superhero movie not going to work. Now, we could immediately point to Blade as an example of a rated R superhero movie that worked. Mm-hmm. But
which is funny because he talks about.
Right, but we don't. Oh God, we won't.
I know. We don't want to. But it was just.
There were so many great jokes.
Well, if it's not for Blade, which Ryan Reynolds was in, he wouldn't have got the first Deadpool character in the X-Men Origins.
Oh.
Which this was then the kind of let's do it right.
Right. Yeah. And actually, thanks to the last X-Men movie. We actually have Days of Future Past. We actually even can manage to keep it a continuity here too.
Yeah,
because Days of Future Past rewrote the timeline. Doesn't matter. What does matter is other rated R superhero movies. Mm-hmm. Here's what's going to happen. We said we have a rated R superhero movie that managed to do really, really well, make lots of money. Mm-hmm. So the first thing the studios are going to start doing is greenlighting a dozen other rated R superhero movies.
Todd McFarlane just finished the script on the new Spawn movie.
That's Todd McFarlane.
Oh, what did I say?
Is it Seth or Todd?
That's Todd.
No,
Todd.
He said Todd.
Okay. Yeah. I thought it was Seth MacFarlane that just finished the script.
No.
I read the article earlier. I'm like, Seth MacFarlane did what?
No. Todd, the guy who made him up.
Okay. Todd McFarlane, okay. Much happier about it.
And you know what? Let's actually use that as a nice little segue, because the way that Deadpool was created is amazing. Because Todd McFarlane was good friends with Rob Liefeld, who's one of the worst artists ever. And they were joking around about how easy McFarlane had it because he was drawing Spider-Man. And at the same time, Liefeld was doing one of the teams. I forget which team, but he had like six faces to draw for every cover. And they were like making all these jokes about how much easier it was to draw Spider-Man. So he said, you know what? I'm going to draw a guy with a mask so I don't have to draw any faces. So he created Deadpool.
We've got images up.
Oh, gosh.
Look, we have the images going on here. Rob Liefeld is, by all accounts, a bit of an asshole.
And really the worst artist in comic books.
He's not talented.
And Danielle, what I want you to catch here, what we've got on the screen right now, everybody, is the New Mutants number 98, which was the first appearance of Deadpool, and Bloodstrike from Image Comic Books number 1, both drawn by Rob Liefeld, and he ripped off his own cover. They're the exact same image with just different characters put in each spot.
It's even the same facial expressions, which I think is the part where it gets a little like...
It's the same smoke coming out of the gun. Everything is the same.
This guy seems like a dick.
And check out the anatomy here. Danielle.
So this is one of the...
Wow, that guy's got boobs.
Yeah.
Yeah. And these images, producer Dan, you're responsible for getting up on the page so that our...
Yeah, I'll be doing a post about how much I hate Rob Liefeld.
Probably don't put this picture up, though.
No, I'll put it up. It's fine.
Okay.
That... Actually, I just really...
She's wearing a thong. It's fine.
Well, it's not even the thong that I'm worried about. It's her complete lack. Like, somebody removed all of her organs between her butt and her boobs.
No, they did. They removed them
all. There's no organs there. There's
That's
no
actually her superpower.
So the one redeeming thing that he ever did was creating Deadpool, which he didn't even give Deadpool the personality traits that he has now.
Yeah,
none of that was there. He was just an anonymous merc at that point. And then just as the character developed, different writers and different artists put their own spin on him, and he kind of became what he is today.
Right, and it does. And you can read about the history of Deadpool if you're terribly interested in it. But it really was an amalgamation of a lot of different folks putting stuff together to create Deadpool and make him what he was. So just really, if you haven't seen Deadpool, it's absolutely great.
And to put it into perspective for fans of our show that may actually relate more to me, about how I feel about some of the entertainment that you force me, I mean, that I volunteer to watch.
Mm-hmm. I prefer voluntold.
This movie, other than making me like vastly, vastly uncomfortable with the amount of gore, I repeatedly was like putting my hand in front of my eyes. It is probably in my top five of all time of favorite movies, and it is by far my favorite Marvel movie. Like this, I know that they're going to try and recreate this with a bunch of other characters, but to me now, Deadpool, like Batman mm-hmm. used to be like my guy. He was my superhero. And now you know what? It's Deadpool.
Oh, poor Batman.
And really, this is the best thing that's come out of the fact that Fox owns the mutants.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Because so Disney and Marvel would not make this movie.
No.
No, probably not.
It would not happen. But
well,
Fox...
you know what, though? James Gunn making Guardians of the Galaxy suggests that Disney and Marvel are willing to push the envelope.
Yeah, but not this far.
Not right away, no. And don't get me wrong, I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled with the way Fox did it. I'm thrilled with everything about this movie. There was literally not a moment wasted. And I don't think there's anybody here who had anything but awesome things to say about it.
And now we're going to get Deadpool 2. We're going to get X-Force. And he might be showing up in X-Men Apocalypse. There's rumors.
Now, one other point that I want to touch on real fast. The very end, I guess you could almost call this a spoiler. It's been basically confirmed that Cable is going to show up in Deadpool 2.
Yes.
So, here's what makes the difference. Here's why that's important. We would need to spend an entire show just breaking down who Cable is and why that matters.
We might have to do that at some point.
Right, and we probably will. But here's the important part, I think, that gives me hope for going forward and whether or not lightning can strike twice with Deadpool.
Mm-hmm.
Cable and Deadpool have done a lot of comic books together, did a lot of stuff, and the reason they work is that Cable is this very serious, hard...
He's a straight man.
He's the straight man.
Like Colossus kind of was.
Exactly. Yeah. So by right out the gate saying, we're going to keep a straight man there, tells me that they understand what makes Deadpool work and how you need what you need to do to have a successful Deadpool.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, because he can't have every movie with him and T.J. Miller. T.J. Miller is also off the wall a bit.
Right.
And they did do a good job of painting him as a straight character, but he's still not.
No.
T.J. Miller will
he'll
never
still pop
play.
Up.
Yeah, well, Deadpool, he's a straight man, but not in the same way.
My point is you can't have that relationship be the focus of all these movies. He has to have other straight characters
well,
to play
and
off of. And Al. Oh, God, Al.
You gotta love Al. Not
no,
you, the
was,
other one.
She was the
right,
best.
No, she was way better than
Blind
me.
Blind Al.
There was not a character I did not love in this movie.
Okay, so watch All Deadpool. Right, let's go forward here. Okay, going from very happy to very upset. Okay, here's the deal.
You have a flow chart for this,
The next couple minutes are about to be rated R, because I'm about to... We're going to discuss...
If you are listening to this with small children, you may want to fast forward about 10 minutes.
Gamergate. So
what's
Gamergate? Here's a very very fast recap. There was a young lady who whose ex boyfriend got very upset with her. Wrote this big long nasty manifesto, basically saying that she was in game development and basically accusing her of having slept her way to positive journalism reviews. And it brought up a big issue about ethics in gaming journalism. And so as a logical response to that, people threatened to rape and kill her all over the place.
As
they
you
dumped
do.
A bunch of her personal information online. They dumped a bunch of her family and friends' personal information online. They contacted her parents and told her father. Like, I remember there was one story we read about somebody got a hold of her father on the phone and told her father that they would rape his daughter to death. Like, that legitimately fucking happened. All right? So this shit's been going on for 2 fucking years. This bullshit has piled up and piled up and piled up. And let me tell you right now, if you are pro-Gamergate, I don't fucking care. Stop listening to my show.
Yeah.
I've got no patience for you. I don't need you fucking listening. Here's the thing. It got to the point where she finally folded. She finally looked around. The justice system did shit for her. She's been attacked consistently and constantly. She cannot do a fucking thing about it. As a matter of fact, she was advised by her lawyers to maintain a certain silence and distance from it, which just gave this asshole licensing to stir the pot and get these other fucking assholes all up in her shit constantly.
Yeah.
And after 2 fucking years, she finally said, you know what? I can't do it anymore. I can't do it to my friends. I can't do it to my family. And she folded. And you know what? I don't blame her in the slightest.
Well, she said, actually, that every time she tried to do something with the case, it would get him all riled up and he'd go back to the online trolls and a whole new slew of threats would come. So literally every time she tries to make progress, he pushes her five steps back. And instead of law enforcement actually having her back like they should, they said, I don't know what this online trolling is. Maybe you should just stay off the internet. Offline.
And now this shit has also
in 2016. Bullshit. Just stay offline.
And as a game, especially somebody in game development.
Right.
So now on top of this shit, it's now spilled over and picked up a bunch of other people along the way. So there's a bunch of other women who had the audacity to speak up and share that they had a fucking opinion, and this shit came after them too. So she's folded. She can't do it anymore, and I don't fucking blame her. I don't know how the hell she managed to hang on this long. But we at For Geek's Sake would like to just be very, very clear about this. Yes, gaming journalism is an issue. And yes, let's go ahead and just give, sure, whatever. She slept her way to a positive game review for a free game that was designed to help people struggling with depression. Okay, fine. I don't give a shit. At no point is threatening to rape someone to death an acceptable response to fucking anything. And I swear to God, don't listen to my show. I've got no patience for your bullshit. I have no patience for this Gamergate. And I get rather annoyed with the whole thing.
That's 11 F-bombs. That's the most we've ever had.
Meow. We know where he stands on this issue.
So, now, I'm done.
Okay.
So,
was that cathartic for you? Did you get it out?
It is. Yeah? It's like, it's actually, and I know that was 11 F-bombs. The number of F-bombs that I dropped when I read her full.
Oh, her full.
There's a full link. I don't even know if we threw it up or not on the. Yeah, no, yes, we did. Yes, we did. So her full she posted this big a big long response that, you know, explaining what she's doing, why she's doing it, what she's trying, how she's trying to move forward with her life, yada yada, blah blah blah. And you can go and read the whole thing there. But let me tell you what, I'm glad my kids weren't home when I read it, because it got a lot worse than that. And it makes me pissed, and it makes me depressed, and it makes me embarrassed. It is literally counter to every single thing I love about geek culture.
Yes.
I don't know why they can't just look at these trolls as terrorists, because that's what they're doing. That's what they are. They're being freaking terrorists.
They are
terrorizing her.
And then you have to, yes.
And her family and everyone she knows.
And it gets difficult. And I realize that it is, from a law enforcement perspective, a very, very difficult line to walk and a very difficult thing to do, because a lot of times these guys are creating anonymous Twitter accounts and posting all of this stuff.
I watch CSI Cyber. They can shut that shit down.
Oh, boy.
Right. Well, if CSI Cyber can do it. Okay. Let's move on to something else before I get.
We've got a story for our friend of the show, Dan Rogers.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he's going to love this one.
He is.
He already posted.
He did.
Yeah, he did. He posted on our thing. So this is Harry Potter and the Cursed Child Parts 1 and 2. So do you want to take it away?
Well, it's just awesome, because what they did is they took the screenplay for the... The script for the show that they're producing in New York or London. London. Or whatever. Okay, so I don't know everything. Sue me.
So the short
version. No. Okay. I'm going to finish.
All right, do it.
Okay.
Do it.
I can do this.
I believe in you.
So they're taking the script for the stage show. That's what I'm trying to say. And they are turning it into a book.
Now, what I'm not clear on, are they releasing it as a script, or is she
transforming
it into a novel?
Book.
No, I read it as... No. I'm pretty sure that it's releasing it as a...
As a play?
It's a final version of the script kind of thing. It's a specialty version of the script.
Oh, I guess it does say a new play by... Well, whatever. So, I don't care. I'm going to read it. Well, and I'm going to own it.
Right.
Hardcover.
So this is the... And they actually are calling this the eighth book, and it picks up 19 years after the final events in the last Harry Potter book, Deathly Hallows. And so this is the whole thing.
It's their version of The Force Awakens.
Right. So if you heard us talking about Black Hermione, this is the stage show that we're referring to here. So I'm not going to call it a cash grab. I don't think that's accurate. I think it is. I say that because as Dan Rogers would be very quick. I mean, he gets very, very frustrated.
What it is it's appeasing her fans. I'm sure she has gotten as much mail as Zoe has from Gamergate, and instead of threatening to rape and kill, we are all threatening to come to her house.
I don't know if I like this comparison.
Gives us a book.
I don't like that very well.
That wasn't your best, but I see where your head was at.
Yeah.
No, I think that she couldn't stay away. I think that she's created this thing. You know, there was
it has a life of its own.
It does. Well, and I heard this really, really great quote a long, long time ago that said, an artist never completes a work, they just abandon it. And you know, they, when painting or writing or whatever, you know, you create something and you're never quite, you always want to do one more thing. You always want to do just, and then I'll just add, well, and then I'll just, and there's a lot of times what happens. I think that's what happens with Lucas and the Star Wars in a lot of ways. He had this big, beautiful thing and he just kept messing with it until he messed it up.
I hope that's not what she's doing here.
I'm not convinced that it is by a long shot.
Especially with the whole 19 years later thing.
Right.
A lot of what people loved about Harry Potter was that it was kids.
But
and now it's him as an adult with kids.
No, they're focusing on his kids.
Right, I get that.
And the thing is, though, is that it's not...
It feels very like...
See, in my mind, it's almost like it's a complete new universe. Like, it doesn't... All the Star Wars movies are compared to each other. This is not... No. You know what I'm saying? Like, they did the trilogy and then the trilogy, and now they're doing another trilogy.
Right.
She wrote a series and then walked away from it, and now she's going back to it, and she's going back to it in all these different ways now. And so, to me, it's not. It's not
but
just
here's my question.
Story number eight.
What if it sucks?
It's not going to.
But what if it does? That's my point.
I don't think...
Does this taint the legacy of the Harry Potter?
I think that's a fair question.
Or of J.K.
Right. I mean, what if this is episode one?
Okay, and what if it's not? What if
because
it
feels very similar to, hey, let's see what Darth Vader was like when he was a little kid. And now it's, hey, let's see what Harry Potter's like as a parent, and let's see what his kids are like. And it's very like, when you change the roles, it changes everything to me.
And I will say this, J.K. Rowling is still, to my mind, one of the most talented authors I've ever read.
Hmm. I'm not saying it's gonna suck. I'm just saying what if it does.
I would read something like if she wrote instruction manuals, I would read them. She is a very incredible author. She's very descriptive. I don't think she can mess this up.
Well, but and this is the thing though. A lot of people would have said the same thing about Lucas before episode one. Mm-hmm. However, in that same vein, episode one still did fine. And I think this is also really important. Episode one and the prequels in general still play very well to a younger audience.
They do.
So if we think about the very first, I remember when I picked up the very first Harry Potter book 100 years ago, I read the first, I don't know, 10, 15 pages and was bored silly and put it down because I didn't like the writing. It was too simplistic. It was too childish. I was like, I don't really get the big hype. And it took me a long time before I came back around. And a matter of fact, I started reading the series really at book three. And then read all of them and then went back and picked up one and two. Mm. And it was only then that I appreciated what was going on here. So I think that it's not going to matter. We're all going to read it.
And the other thing, too, is you're comparing...
Well, I'm going to read it.
You're comparing a series that started as movies and then transitioned to books and TV shows and all that other stuff. This started as books and then turned into a movie. So I don't think she can mess this up.
Well, is this going to be a book or a play?
It's a play that they're turning into a book slash script.
There will be some translation involved in that.
Yeah.
From one medium to the next.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, and that's the whole thing, too, is you've got this coming out with the Harry Potter and the Cursed Child. And then at around the same time, you've got Mysterious Beasts and Where to Find Them, which is the first one that is going to be coming out as a movie first.
Right.
Where J.K. Rowling is writing the screenplay.
Right.
So you've got...
What if the play sucks?
I mean... I don't know. I don't think it – does it taint the legacy? No. Does it change anything about how great the other stuff is? No. As much as a lot of us hate the prequels for Star Wars, nobody is saying that 4, 5, and 6 are no good.
If the Harry
and
Potter
– 7 had no problem making all of the money.
If the London West End show opens and it turns out to be Spider-Man the Musical –
okay,
and it just tanks.
Does this
destroy the book?
Does it
hurt the sales of the books?
Al just made that – parallel with Star Wars. Star Wars episode one, you guys think it sucked. It doesn't mean that people stopped watching episode four or five or six.
Right.
And that they didn't go see episode seven.
I don't imagine.
It doesn't matter.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying if the play sucks, does that hurt the sales of the book?
No.
Since the play comes out before the book comes out. You're
going
to get the reviews. You're going to hear what people think about the stage show.
I don't think
before you get the opportunity
because
to buy the book.
I would still buy the book if I think it's...
Well, and the thing is, the thing about the play is that if you're not in London and manage to get tickets for the show, you're not going to...
Or watch YouTube.
I still don't think it's going to be the same.
Or if they do what they did with Benedict Cumberbatch and Hamlet.
I still don't know that it would be the same thing. I mean, maybe if they did that. And they probably will. Because here's the thing. I don't think that J.K. Rowling is interested in a cash grab. She already has all of the money.
Yes.
She may be interested in... I mean, there's a possibility. The most malicious I could say is that she misses the fame and attention. That could is the worst possible thing.
But it's
that
not.
But she's got the Fantastic Beasts thing.
Right. She's got plenty going on. So yeah. Anyway, let's move on here. Now, here's the main reason. One of the main reasons that we have Elijah in the studio today. Gravitational waves have been officially identified, from what I'm understanding here. So I read what we posted because it was really important. And I
did you see the second video I posted?
No, I didn't, actually.
The longer form one?
I read about it. I tried to understand it. And then I thought, you know what? We're going to need somebody to put this in perspective for us.
Yeah, I don't know all this science-y stuff.
Disclaimer, I'm not a physicist.
No.
You just play one on TV.
Between the two of us, we won't be able to get through it.
Well, but you have read...
Everything.
Like all like what you read...
Stephen Hawking's?
Yeah, all the bunch of Hawking books, a bunch of other books that I looked at, and I'm like, I wouldn't know... Mm-hmm.
You read, like, textbooks?
That as well, yes. Research journals. I'm still up to date.
Like he keeps up with this shit as a hobby. So okay. While I don't have a physicist, although we are actively looking for a physicist, mm-hmm. actually.
So
for
if
a
you're a
of
physicist,
shows.
Let us know.
Absolutely. Neil deGrasse, give us a call.
Yeah, Neil, listen, seriously, stop avoiding me.
Yeah, he could call in. Just you call into his show and interview him for this show.
Yeah, we'll do Star Talk. It'll
exactly.
be fine.
Boom, done. All right, Elijah, tell us about gravitational waves and why the hell this matters.
It doesn't really matter. Not to your average person. Definitely not. It's going to take a long time before it matters to someone like you or me. At a base level.
Okay.
What the basic of it is gravitational waves.
That's not what I was expecting.
Well, the base of it is if it's 100% true that we are detecting gravitational waves, it's going to give us the ability to look at the universe through a different lens. So imagine right now we're making we've made all these discoveries as humans, you know, by looking out to the universe using infrared light, visual light, x-rays, gamma rays, things like that. And we've deduced a lot of information. All the way back to the Big Bang, supposedly. So now there's a big gap in what we know, and it's going to be gravity wave theory.
Okay. So,
I didn't follow most of that.
Okay, let's back it up a little bit. When Einstein put out his theory of relativity, this is part of it.
E equals MC squared.
Right. So yes. If gravitational waves aren't in existence, if that wasn't a thing, it would disprove the theory of relativity and everything that we know about physics, and we would have to start over from scratch.
So this is just
this
proving...
This facility had been looking for these for a long time. They shut down for 2 years and renovated and put in new systems. And as soon as they turned it on, they found two black holes that were orbiting each other and slammed together, and all these gravitational waves came out of it.
So
it's basically like gravity waves moving through. It's almost like dropping a pebble in a pond.
Okay, how far away is it?
Oh, these are billions and billions of light years.
Yes.
Like past... Pluto from Vemshnup?
Well, technically, I mean, what they saw was all the way out there, but the ripples are felt throughout the entire universe.
Up to the sun.
Right down to our doorstep, absolutely.
So is this going to be like the movie The Core? Are birds going to start dropping out of the sky?
No,
definitely.
I saw that movie.
Actually,
but what it is instead of just looking through telescopes to try to find celestial bodies, now we can use math and figure it out based on these waves.
They did with the new ninth planet.
Exactly.
Yes. Okay.
Very much like that.
Okay. So we're using gravitational waves to help us find other things in the galaxy.
To find things that we can't physically see.
Well, we will once.
Well, I'm sorry.
Once
yes.
we work it all out. Exactly.
Exactly.
But something like a black hole, which sheds no visible light or other radiation, we're going to have the gravity waves to detect it.
And neutrino stars that are really small.
Yes.
So it's like using sonar waves, like in the ocean, to detect stuff. And...
Exactly.
Okay. I'm following now.
Okay.
Yeah,
so that
we
are just opening up our knowledge of the universe and our ways of exploring it in lots of different ways right now, basically.
Okay. So that is actually really okay. That was the piece that I was missing. I was trying to figure out what we did with them. Like, we found gravity waves. Like, great. What do we do with them? Nobody could explain it to me. Okay.
Does it mean like we're all going to shrink down a couple inches? Like we're going to be like, the gravity's...
No,
because they're not new.
Yeah,
they've always been there.
I just don't understand.
We just started detecting them using lasers.
Okay, so because the idea here is that
fucking laser beams.
We understood, because we've understood before that sound operates in waves.
Yes.
And that heat radio. Operates in radio
exactly.
waves and all these other types. So the fact that gravity also functions as a wave...
That's what Einstein said, and that's what this proves.
Okay.
Okay. So we
which doesn't completely prove the theory of relativity and doesn't turn it into the fact of relativity.
Law,
the law of relativity.
Oh, okay.
But,
I was going to say, so does it prove him?
But had we never found those, then we could have said, you know what, maybe he wasn't right. We need to rethink this.
Gotcha. But they are doing research and other things, even up till now, based on that already being true.
Yeah.
We just finally
But people
proof.
Are going to be taking this information that they collected and dissecting it for the next 5 years, basically, to try to disprove that this is what we think it is.
Well, and it sounded like they did an awful lot. Like, they didn't just find this, get excited, and blurb it. Like, they've been checking this out and rechecking this out and rechecking this out.
Yes,
so
it's been several months.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's, I mean, so
well, that's the thing that scientists like to do. They like to make sure that they're not wrong.
Right. So, but I mean,
haven't
by
you
trying
ever
to
watched
prove that they are
Big
wrong.
Bang Theory? Gosh, Al, it's like you don't know anything about scientists.
Well, what I'm asking here is, since they've already gotten all of this information there, I mean, the odds that this is actually happening seem pretty high to me, based on what I was like. They're like, I'd say like it looked like they were like 90% positive that they had this figured out.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, so they're not 100% positive that this is actually gravity.
Scientists will never say that they're 100% positive. That's why.
My god.
That's why there's so few laws.
That's
of
why
things.
I'm not a scientist.
That's why there's never 100% chance of rain.
Exactly.
Same thing.
Although, to be fair, they...
unless you're in a hurricane.
Or when it's actually raining, then there's a 100% chance of rain.
I've still seen them come out like 95%. I've also seen them 100% chance of rain looked out my window and be like, no, actually, you're wrong. Hmm. Anyway, okay, so gravitational waves. I'm get it now. Thank you both for schooling me up on this.
Yay.
Let's talk about something equally important. The new Dawn of Justice trailer.
Yes.
Oh my god, I'm so upset.
So, yes, I know. There's still no...
There was no Momoa in the trailer.
I gave you a picture with him.
You did, and I appreciate it, but he's very blurry.
So...
I'm very upset. I'm not going to see this movie until they show me that he's in it.
All right. Well, he's going to be in it for all of, like... It's probably a cameo. Is everything
Maybe
I'm
I'll
seeing.
Just YouTube his scene and then be done
with it. From what I understand, the big two are in it, you know, the whole time. Wonder Woman's in it a considerable amount. And then Aquaman is in it a little bit, and Cyborg and Flash just have cameos.
Okay.
That's what it sounds like.
I thought I heard something about the Green Lantern having a cameo in here as well.
He may.
Okay.
That's rumored at this point. And okay. Batgirl is rumored, and there's lots of rumors.
That's, yeah, we'll see. But, I mean, if you're going with Justice League as it exists currently,
mm-hmm.
with a big asterisk on that, then you're talking. I mean, that's the only one you're really missing over there is Green Lantern.
Yeah, and they did announce though a couple weeks ago. We kind of missed it because we were recording at the time. I think DC on the CW they did two specials. They did a half hour special on Legends of Tomorrow right before they launched it.
Right,
and they did the Dawn of Justice premiere special.
Oh,
which was hosted by I'm going to forget who it was, but it doesn't matter. Somebody from DC and Kevin Smith, and
gotcha.
They showed the premiere of the new Suicide Squad trailer during that as well, and they mentioned the Green Core, which is going to have its own movie and have both Hal Jordan and John Stewart.
So the Green Core is the you know, for those of you who are not familiar with it, if you watch the unfortunate Green Lantern movie with Ryan Reynolds, the Green Lantern is part of a core of basically international military police. That
intergalactic.
I'm sorry, intergalactic, not international.
No,
it's very different. much bigger than that. And they get assigned to different sectors. So
right. That's
why there would be a movie with a bunch of them.
But that means that both of Earth's Green Lanterns will be there. Hal Jordan and John Stewart. And John Stewart is the Black Green Lantern. For those of you who don't know,
right? Not in fact the Daily Show host.
Yeah,
former Daily Show host.
That's who I know as John Stewart.
Or actually the current, because we now have a Black Daily Show host. Not that one either. Don't get confused. This guy's different.
This is getting really confusing.
It is. But back to the trailer. The trailer gave us a bit more Batflick.
Oh yeah,
we actually got to see a little bit of Alfred.
I love when he crashes through the window and you see basically like the Batman logo as he's coming through. It's beautiful.
Yeah. What did you think, Elijah? What were your thoughts on the trailer here?
It looks good. Looks exciting.
Yeah?
That's for sure.
Yeah. Any concerns?
No. Well, you know, the very handsome Alfred.
You think, is Alfred too good looking for you?
He should be an old man, right? Like a very old man.
Like Michael Caine was.
Not necessarily. I mean, he should be older than, I mean, he's got to be older than Batman, obviously.
Exactly.
That's true. If they were the same age, I would kind of start to mess it up.
Well, with George Clooney as Batman this time, who knows?
But in the comic books, over the last decade or so, they've been doing a lot more of the former special ops type.
Right, right, yeah. Alfred's got a dark past kind of thing.
You said try again. What do you
mean?
Not
George Clooney.
Yes. George Clooney is Batman.
No.
Batman and
Robin.
Oh,
Ben Affleck.
I mean, he was back in the 90s.
That's it. I knew you'd get there. I know. I was trying to just move past it, but she kept staring at me like, what's wrong with you? And I was like, okay, well, let me...
You're the one who's dumb, Al. Oh, next week we get to do Danielle's dumb.
No!
Oh, sorry. We had no this week. Ha ha, I was dumb, and I was so happy about it. So the trailer had some stuff that I really enjoyed. We got to see Gal Gadot as...
Diana.
As Diana.
For like 5 seconds.
Right, but we got to see her there. And I got to be honest with you, I think she looks great. I think she's fine for the role.
Yeah.
She's.
I got no problem with her.
She's no Vanessa.
No, no, but, you know, Marina Bakarin is a creature unto herself. I did think there was also this one I thought was a really interesting moment here, and I'm wondering what they're going to do with the universe, because Superman goes to throw a punch, and Batman blocks it. Mm-hmm. And there's the moment where Superman looks down and realizes that Batman's managed to block it.
It's so, very much like when Cap almost picked up Thor's hammer.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. and so I'm stuck with this moment here because this means one of three possibilities.
Okay.
One, Superman wasn't throwing it with all his might or wasn't really pushing that hard. It was just surprised.
That's not
at the resistance. It's
be
a possibility.
It's not going
to
be it.
Possibility two, Batman has managed to get. They're going to introduce Kryptonite.
Of course.
And so Batman's going to use that to somehow hamper...
I think that's clearly a lead suit lined with kryptonite.
Here's the third possibility.
But where did he get the kryptonite from?
Not Lex. Important.
He's always had some.
That's
what?
Well, actually, Batman and Lex Luthor both have always kept some kryptonite around.
Just in case.
Batman has always had kryptonite?
Absolutely. Batman's always one of the things that you see... Well, not always, I guess, really. In the last, I'd say, 20 years worth of Batman... ever since Batman v Superman became a thing back in the 80s, right?
Not the movies, just the comic books.
And the comic books.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
And in the TV shows, the cartoon series, all that kind of stuff.
The whole thing is Batman's always, as the world's greatest detective, as the guy who's got a plan for everything, he always is concerned about Superman going rogue and having an ability to stop him. So
I
he
didn't
keeps
know that.
Kryptonite around. That's been a. So, yes, I think that's probably the most likely. Mm-hmm. However, the one that makes me nervous is the third possibility. That they're going to suggest that Batman manages to catch up to Superman in terms of pure power.
They can't.
That's why he's wearing the metal suit, though.
Yeah. Right, but I mean, if he says that the metal suit makes him as strong as Superman, that's what concerns. Now, it's not a great possibility, but it does concern me a little bit.
No, that's almost going towards Iron Man, and that's, you know what I'm saying? Like,
right. No, and
it's
like
not the suit that gives him the power. It's like the technology that he uses and the gadgets.
Well, that's what I mean. But if you want to get down to terms, Superman has always been able to crush Batman, like in a just dead. Period. Done.
Yeah, it's a god against a human.
Exactly. So if the human, there's no technology that Batman has ever been able to come up with that matches Superman for pure raw power.
That's why he's always going to have his kryptonite.
Exactly. So,
and I've watched a lot of breakdowns of this trailer and like people breaking it down frame by frame and stuff. And a lot of people believe that in the famous scene that we've all seen from the museum in the beginning, where the Clark Kent and Bruce Wayne meet, it's clear that they know who each other is at that point.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
I felt like that.
Batman, the ultimate detective, he's going to recognize that the guy without the glasses is the guy with the glasses.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Clark Kent isn't an idiot either. You know, he's going to figure out also that guy is
now,
Batman.
Now, if Spider-Man were there, he wouldn't know anything because he's an idiot. But Superman and Batman
know
everything.
You create web slingers out of
nowhere,
I'm
sorry,
right?
But Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man was not the brightest.
Well,
it depends on which.
Hopefully, Tom Holland's will be better.
Yeah, it depends on which iteration of Spider-Man we're talking about. She's not completely wrong, is all I'm saying. Although Superman has been dumb as a post on a couple of iterations as well. As a matter of fact, in a lot of ones, he just uses X-ray vision.
Have
to
you
see
seen him
Wayne.
Recently in comic books?
Oh.
Who's
what
Superman?
About?
Yeah.
What
no.
about the
he
lowest...
wears jeans and a Superman T-shirt now.
Superman? As Clark Kent?
No, as Superman.
No, that can't be right.
He what? Wears jeans and a Superman T-shirt.
Okay, here's my biggest issue with
like,
that.
Like, he dresses like me.
That's Superboy. Superboy did that. Are you sure you're talking about
Superman? No, I'm talking Superman.
Clark Kent as Superman.
Not Clark Kent, when he is as Superman.
No, that's what I mean. Yeah. Clark Kent.
He tears off the suit, and underneath is jeans and a T-shirt.
Because that is what
Superman... A form-fitting one at that.
That's what Superboy has worn forever.
Yeah.
And the Teen Titans and other stuff like that. He wears a black a black t-shirt with the red super logo and then and blue jeans. Like, that's been his...
You know who my favorite Superman was? Dean Cain.
Yeah, I know.
He's pretty.
I just like the idea of pants under pants.
I'm actually trying to... You know, my first thought, though, was I was imagining trying to fight crime in jeans. And they're really not... I mean, they don't breathe
no,
as well.
No, there's no give. There's no... Yeah.
No.
Just plain t-shirt. It's not like Affliction studded or anything like that. Affliction
no.
brand?
No, just plain old t-shirt.
Bedazzled?
I'm looking for it, actually.
Hit it in the middle-aged stride doing that.
Somebody's having a midlife crisis. Okay, you look it up. What have we got next, though, Dana?
Let's see. Next up is Walking Dead.
All right, so I'm the only one of the four of us that watches Walking Dead.
Are you going to have spoilers?
No spoilers. Okay. Just going to keep this very, very simple here. The premiere dropped. That is Superboy's look. I don't understand that.
That's part of the new 52.
Okay, we'll get to that in a minute.
He looks dumb.
Yeah. And like, what is he wearing? Like, what kind of shoes are those? Are those like
sneakers?
They're just
Skechers.
Tennis shoes.
Some nice Skechers.
Yeah, why not?
No, they're not even Skechers. They're just
they're shape ups.
Tennis shoes.
They're sensible. They're sensible though. I mean, I'll give them that.
They're what were the ones where you pumped the basketball
Nike,
on the tongue?
The pump.
The pump. Reebok.
Yeah.
So The Walking Dead. The back half of season 6 started. Came out on Valentine's Day. Which just made this, by the way, one awesome freaking Valentine's Day. Deadpool and Walking Dead. That's just a great combination. They came out swinging. Love the episode. If you're, we're not going to do the full breakdown. We just don't have the room for it on our schedule currently, especially for a mid-season kind of comeback deal. But I will say this: to me, this was one of the best episodes of Walking Dead that's been out there. If you haven't seen it and you're at all interested, you need to do so soon. I will say that there's parts where this stuff is starting to feel a little forced, and I don't know, like because
we're 6 seasons into the zombie apocalypse.
Do you think they should just die?
No, and I'm actually kind of looking forward to the bad guy who's coming on. Next, Negan is being played by Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
I thought the zombies were the bad
guys. Jeffrey Dean Morgan is coming on?
Yeah. He's going to be the big bad for the next season.
He's going to play a bad guy?
Oh, yeah. And he plays one brutal, brutal, brutal mofugger. But there was an awesome scene involving a rocket launcher right at the beginning there, and it was just fantastic. So anytime you pull out a rocket launcher, I'm willing to give you this. So Walking Dead, check it out. We'll see what's going on with it. We'll see where it's going. And when the season wraps up, maybe we'll try to get folks in here to do this. Speaking of death and destruction, Daredevil season 2 trailer 1.
Oh.
Season 2 trailer 1. Also Walking Dead, actually the more obvious one to draw along there is Punisher, who is played by Shane from the first couple seasons of The Walking Dead, is now plays the is the guy who same guy who's playing the Punisher.
Was he the bald guy in the trailer?
No.
He was the guy sitting on the bench.
Who is the bald guy in the trailer?
I don't. Kingpin?
No.
I don't know. Was he bald?
I didn't catch it.
You mean the guy killing everybody?
Yeah, like, who is that?
Oh, was that?
He wasn't bald. He had short hair.
He's close cropped.
Maybe I was just.
Because he's like military esque.
Deadpool. I don't know.
Okay. But yeah, so Daredevil season 2. What'd you think of the. What'd you think?
Oh, I loved it. It looks amazing.
Yeah,
I'm very happy with it. It's going to be better than any of the Punisher movies and better than the Daredevil movie. It's just amazing.
That's not setting a terribly high bar.
I know.
But yes, it will be. I think they're doing a great job
of doing the Lord's work is what they're doing now.
They did a great job of framing the two of them. I thought that was great. The Daredevil,
like I mentioned while we were watching it, you know, you've got basically Marvel's two biggest Catholic characters, and they're playing that up a lot with the priest and everything.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think that'd be really interesting.
I love that Punisher called Daredevil a coward.
Yep.
When he's known as the man with no fear, you know.
Oh, that's a good. Yeah. I think it'd be really interesting to watch. And they're struggling with a lot of the issues. I mean, you even see right there in the first preview. Did we create this? Are we responsible for this?
Right.
They're asking some of those kind of questions that I think are legitimate. I think are really awesome that they're asking. Did you watch the first round of Daredevil?
Yeah, binge watched it hardcore.
Yeah. So, what'd you think of the trailer here?
The trailer that looks awesome.
Yeah. Are you looking forward to having the Punisher out there?
I didn't even know that was a Punisher. You're
surprising
me with this.
Well, and we don't even know if they're going to refer to him as the Punisher during the run or if they're just going to call him Frank Castle.
Right. Well, you've got clearly the Punisher's logo.
Oh, yeah.
With the skull.
Yep, exactly.
And I think it's a really It's exciting.
They spoiled Elektra as well, I saw.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah?
Right. Actually, and they spoiled Elektra as a lead-in to their next trailer, which is dropping February 25th.
Mm-hmm.
I still think they're taking this whole preview thing a little too far. But, all right.
It's getting you excited, though, isn't it?
I can't wait for we're blocking out of time February 25th.
You might not like it, but it's effective.
I just looked it up, and I think he had like a really, really, really shaved head.
Military crew cut.
She's still on that.
But like
she wants another.
Really short.
She needed
like severely short. Yes. I thought he looked bald because it was like everything was dark, like in the darkness.
Right,
it's okay. We forgive you. It's fine.
See, no, I.
When comic book characters do bald, they do bald. We're talking Professor Xavier, Kingpin, like Chrome Dome,
Francis.
Yeah, Lex. They'll at some point they will show light shining off of the scalp. So if you don't see light shining off the scalp, they
that reminds me. I think that by the end of the movie, going back to Batman Superman, Lex will be bald.
You think so?
Yep.
This is technically Lex Luthor Jr. too. Don't forget.
Doesn't matter.
I'm agreed, but I'm saying, and we don't have time to cover it much, but over the Super Bowl, we had the new X-Men Apocalypse trailer drop.
Yes.
And that continues.
With all kinds of Psylocke.
Oh, yeah. A lot. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for the Psylocke.
Olivia Munn looking amazing.
Olivia Munn.
No, I know, but the trailer that they had before Deadpool didn't have a lot of her in it, so it must
it was a different one.
Okay, they had one
specifically for the Super Bowl.
Got it.
And it looked...
Excuse me, the big game.
we don't have the budget
to say that word.
I'm not gonna lie, like after Deadpool and then seeing the previews for Apocalypse, like I turned to Chris and said, I want to go back and watch the X-Men, and he's gonna watch them with me again. Already seen them, but he's gonna watch them.
All you really need to watch at this point is Days of Future Past,
but
because that reboot their entire universe.
No, I would jump back. I would say First Class. I would go back to pick up First Class.
You could,
because I think Bryan Singer, the director, has even said that this is a trilogy that picks up with First Class, Days of Future Past, and then we'll end this trilogy. Will end with Apocalypse.
So you don't think I should go back and watch the original X-Men and then the Wolverine and then all that other stuff?
If you got extra time, go for it. But it's not necessary right now.
Yeah,
if I have time and go back and watch it, shouldn't I have just watched it from the beginning? Like, you know me, I'm a completionist. Really. I have to watch things in the right order.
Here's the big thing. At the end of Days of Future Past, which is the most recent X-Men movie, one of the main reasons they did what they did was to write out the first those other three X-Men movies.
But do I need to know what happened?
No.
In those movies to know what they wrote out?
Nope.
Okay. All right. So just start with the First Class and then Days of Future Past and then now Apocalypse.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
And
that'll
I mean, if you get bored and you get froggy and you really like the characters, you can go back and check them out. X-Men Origins Wolverine was an abomination of a movie that ruined two of the greatest characters in Marvel Comics.
Yes.
One of the greatest characters, Deadpool, and a personal favorite of mine, Gambit. To the point where Channing Tatum, I'm really, really hopeful for. Because the last time they put Gambit on the screen, it was so god-awful.
I'm still worried about that one.
Listen, it can't be worse than X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Which one was Ryan Reynolds' Deadpool in that they did a really crappy job?
X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Oh, so it is that one.
Right.
Which is why it was so funny that he kept bringing up Hugh Jackman, right?
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. It was actually...
the Australian thing. And...
Yeah.
The crazy part was that he's known as the Merc with the Mouth. And at the end of the movie, I don't care. Don't watch this movie. And at the end of X-Men Origins Wolverine, he comes out as Deadpool, quote unquote, and he has no mouth. Literally no mouth.
And swords coming out of his hands, and it's just weird.
Like, it's so random.
And he can teleport, and it's just, I mean, Deadpool has had that, but it's a belt that he uses. It's technology that he uses to teleport. It's not a power.
Right.
They might be bringing in if they're bringing in, like, a time-traveling character.
Yeah, well, that'll lead us down a whole different discussion, which is awesome, but we don't have time for it now.
Yeah, sorry.
All right, what else we got?
Next up, I mentioned earlier that Superman looks stupid now, and DC agrees, so they're going to reboot their whole universe.
Again.
Kind of like what Marvel just did with the all-new, all-different.
Are they going to make Aquaman look more like Jason Momoa? Because I'm on board.
Almost certainly.
Almost certainly, because part of this reboot is they are going to take the established universes of the TV shows and movies and build that into the new
universe. So they're going backwards and doing what Marvel's been doing from the beginning.
Well, they're still attempting to do this. This is the problem, though. They can't really do this because they're going to have two simultaneous Flashes, one on the big screen and one in there.
That doesn't matter, because DC has always been about the multiverse. They're still going to be about the multiverse.
Yeah.
So but it still works.
But if you want to try to establish, if you want to pull off an MCU, Marvel Cinematic Universe, you can't. The multiverse thing, you've got to keep to a minimum.
In fact, I was listening to an interview with Kevin Smith where he talked about that special, and he said that a part of it that they cut was where they were talking about this whole Flash issue. And the guy from DC looked at him and went, well, it is a multiverse. They could always run into each other at some point. So there's a possibility that Grant Gustin could appear in the Flash movie, you know, in some fashion.
Just give him a TARDIS, and they're in two different time streams.
Yeah. Which is actually not. You mentioned that, but that's actually something very similar to what they do. I don't know. I think now are they so they're all new, all different. I mean, one of Marvel's big things with their all new, all different was to give us, you know, a much wider range of races and creeds and colors and genders and things. So I'm looking at a bunch of white guys up there. Are we going to be seeing a, I mean, do you think they're going to go that route? Are we
Cyborg's black.
That's true. Actually, his other name
but
is
Token. Aquaman still doesn't look like Jason Momoa in that picture.
Right. No, this is the current lineup.
Yeah, let's change I'm saying, it.
They're going to reboot in June, so we haven't seen any of the art yet.
Okay, but I mean, we're not going to, Batman is not going to turn into Batgirl. We're not going
to
find out
this. No. This is to go along with the movies. They are going hardcore on the movies and the TV shows. The Green Arrow is going to be Arrow. The Flash is going to be the Grant Gustin Flash. Like, the stuff from TV that we've seen, they're going to do, and the stuff that they're doing in the movies is what they're going to do.
All right. We'll see. All right. We'll see what happens. We'll keep an eye on this one for you. Up next, we got a pair of board games we want to talk about. So there's two parts here, Seafall and Time Stories. We're talking about these two big games. We're going to start with Seafall because this one's we don't have tons that we can share about it just yet. However, here's the main point. The guy that created Risk Legacy and Pandemic Legacy. Pandemic Legacy has been the biggest board game of the past year easily. It's up on Board Game Geek's top, like, I think it's the number one board game on Board Game Geeker. It's just, I mean, it's been a humongous game, and if it's a cooperative game over that's played over the course of 12 months in the game world, and this is in the game world.
Oh, okay.
You actually have, and I think there's something like 16 or 18 sessions that you'll actually sit down and play this board game, and then the board game is done. And during that time, you're putting stickers in the board game, you're ripping up other pieces, it's a really bold and different way for them to go. So, and it's had a lot of success, and I think that people feel like it's worth the money. It's worth the value, which was, I think, a lot of the concerns with this whole legacy format. So now they're doing Seafall, a legacy game, is the full name of it. It's the same one, and actually, and you can find the article on it. If you're into board games at all, I absolutely recommend checking this one out. And the guy who created all of this says that Seafall was his first. Before he did Risk Legacy and Pandemic Legacy, Seafall was the game that he wanted to make. And the problem was that it was too big, it was too sprawling, it was too huge. The guy started out working at Hasbro, which is the owner of Wizards of the Coast, Magic the Gathering, Dungeons & Dragons, a bunch of other stuff. They've got all this stuff going on. This is the game he wants to make. And the initial concept design, it's a pirate kind of thing. So you're pirates and you're sailing around and the board is getting revealed. And to the point where you literally are building up the board with stickers that go down on the board to identify where stuff is at. I am stoked. This looks great, and we're going to be keeping a very sharp eye on it.
Is this one of those games that you can only play once?
No, this is a game that you can play. Well, it'll be similar to Pandemic Legacy and Risk Legacy, where you're physically altering the board as you go through. So you'll probably get 18 to 20 plays out of the game before it's done. And those 18 to 20 plays really work best if you're playing with the same group of people. So
that sounds horrible.
But you're not playing from start to finish. You're playing from episode to episode.
Right. So at the end of every time you sit down to play the game, you're changing something. How many board games have you played 18 to 20 times in a row?
Not many.
18 to 20 times, period, really. I mean,
I don't play board games a lot.
Right. Well, and we're gonna drag you down that
rabbit
hole.
And if I'm playing a board game, it should be done in 30 minutes or less.
No, that's terrible.
No, it should be done in 30 minutes or less so I can do a different one.
You might have
that's
it set
the whole
up
idea.
By then. You might have it set up.
Yeah, right. 30 minutes is not enough time to get it.
Well, then I'm not interested.
So, Seafall Legacy, check out the Facebook post. There's a good write-up and an interview with the creator. Let's talk Time Stories. So, Time Stories, actually, Elijah, Danielle, and I sat down.
It's almost as good as Deadpool.
But I'm so sad.
So, Elijah, Danielle, and I sat down to play Time Stories. Now, Time Stories I got actually as a Christmas gift from a friend of the show, That Guy. He sent me the board game. He said, check this one out. Now, Time Stories is a game that you can only play once.
Which is why I'm very sad, Dan. I'm very, very sad.
I don't support this,
and that's fine.
I don't have a stake in this. I don't have a dog in this fight, but I don't support it.
I shared your concern, which is why I would never have bought this game on my own.
Yeah.
And a matter of fact, I will say this right up front: if you have a board game nerd in your life and you're trying to figure out what to get them, Time Stories. Absolutely, get them Time Stories.
How much is it going
to
run you?
I think $35
for something you can play once.
Well, once over the course of like 4 or 5 hours, and then there are expansions that you can get for it as time goes on. Well, you just calm down, Mister. I don't play anything more complicated than Trouble. Okay,
that's right.
Let's just hang on a second. So, we sat down and we played this game. How long were we playing?
We played what, 5 hours total.
Yeah. Did you
four hours?
Did your kids miss you?
They're fine.
Take care of themselves.
I'm just over here crying. Don't
so
mind.
Why are you so sad?
Because I didn't get to finish it.
Yes. So Danielle tapped out.
It was epic.
I tapped out after like 2 or 3 hours.
Don't blame you.
And, well, it was getting late, and the place that we went was a bit overwhelming, but I stuck it out. I was proud of myself.
You did. Yeah.
And we had gone our third run and realized that we had been doing everything all wrong.
Sort of, yeah. So here's the
game you can only play once. You were playing wrong for half the time that you were playing it.
So here's the
oh my god.
Here's the premise of Time Stories. And Time Stories,
they would get a horrible Yelp review from me.
and you know what though? I think that speaks to a very good point. If you've never played Settlers of Catan, if
I believe it's called Cones of Catan.
If you've never played Ticket to Ride, if those type of board games, if you haven't gotten to that level yet, Time Stories is not the game for you.
No.
You need to have already been down that rabbit hole a little ways before you picked it up. But you think that's fair, Elijah?
Absolutely.
Okay. So the basic thing is this is Groundhog's Day meets Quantum Leap. So the whole
meets,
idea.
It's like.
Okay, you keep thinking about it.
meets Choose Your Own Adventure.
Yeah, okay. Choose Your Own Adventure
yeah.
meets those escape point and click rooms. Like click this to get the puzzle that gives you the answer to that puzzle is the answer to this puzzle.
Right. Yeah. So the basic idea here is that you play a character who goes back in time to go fix other people's screw ups. Okay.
But that's, you're jumping into people's bodies.
Exactly. You jump into an existing person's body, a la Quantum Leap, and you play the game as one of these things, as one of these receptacles is what they call them. And it's impressed upon you that the people whose lives you're taking over are not terribly important to history. So if they die, they die.
Like Legends
and they
of Tomorrow.
Did die. They all died.
So you come
all
in
all the time.
You come in at a certain point in time at a certain location. You attempt to solve the mystery. You will fail trying to solve it your first time through. When you fail, you get zapped back to your original spot in the future, and then you go back and you try again with all of your previous knowledge. But going back again, Groundhog Day, you're going back to the same exact time and point. You can change. You're given a choice of 8 different. Player characters that you can take over, and so you go back and you try again with different characters, same characters, knowing what you know and getting a little bit farther each run,
and then you punch through the diamond wall eventually,
kind of, yes, to make that, if you want to follow that Whovian
actually
reference.
We did punch through a cave of monsters.
So and then here's the point is I don't want to do anything to ruin this first one. The first one is called Asylum, and the setting for this one is a 1920s insane asylum where you take over and your roles are patients. I'm not ruining anything by giving you that much information. That's all established here pretty early on. It was, and I say this as a pretty serious board game nerd, the single greatest board game I've ever played. I think as far as a single sit down board game experience, I've never enjoyed a board game more, period.
And I can never go back and play it again.
Here's the problem. I thought cash grab. I thought this was taking the legacy thing and trying to find a way to make more money off of it. And it may be. That may be why the company greenlit the thing. But by doing it in this way, it unlocks ways to play that you cannot do any other way. Would you say that's fair?
Yeah, it's suspenseful. It's exciting. You didn't get through maybe half of the game. There was a whole lot more came, let me tell you.
And the problem is like, you guys have finished it, so I can't go back with you guys.
Nope.
And I can't play with new players because new players don't have the knowledge I do, so I literally can never play that game again.
Yeah.
You just got to hold your tongue for the first
couple hours.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like, Have you met me?
Right.
Holding my tongue is my specialty.
Right. Well, and we can talk through. We'll have
I
to
mean,
talk
you'll
about
have to tell me what happened.
But, and this is the thing that made the game so amazing, is that we wrapped up, Elijah and I, we wrapped up the game. Danielle made it as far as she could. God bless her. And then she had to take off. So we played through it. I think we had to play through, I think, one more full time without her. And we managed to do it by, like, one roll of the die at the very, very last minute, and it was done. So, and on the way, we talked about it the entire way home. I thought about it afterwards. I fell asleep with some errant thoughts. I woke up the next morning with, like, you know what? I wonder what would happen if we – and I've never played a board game that kept me thinking and involved and interested and invested as much as this one did.
And that's what's so terrible about it. I was the same way I thought about it, but I can't play it again. I want to play it again.
Exactly. So now the cool thing about Time Stories is we played a module called Asylum. Now there are a bunch of other modules that have come out, and because they do this thing where they say up front, we're across multiple timelines across multiple realities. So the other ones that I've already dropped include one that's set in a medieval time where magic is a thing. So you've got a high fantasy setting. You've got one that takes place back in the 80s. You've got one that takes place back in ancient Egypt. So you have wildly different settings, wildly different characters, wildly different ways to play, all kind of built into this one game. And so it's – do I hate the fact that it's going to cost me so much money to do this over and over again? Absolutely. Do I hate that I can only play this one time through? Absolutely. Is it worth it? You're damn right it is.
You better include me next time.
I'll think about it.
They are getting –
You can go ahead and not include me next time.
Don't worry.
Yeah, we won't. We won't.
I don't feel left out.
It's okay.
That was never going to be a thing that we did. You're fine.
Good.
The one great thing about Time Stories, though, is while you can't play it again, your friends can. Nothing, unlike a legacy game, you don't do anything physical to the board.
Yeah.
So Time Stories will become my most loaned game just right away.
And when they call you freaking out, you can sort of relive it at that point.
That's true. Yeah. Well, what were you? Any other big takeaways you had from Time Stories?
No. Just I loved it. I loved it.
Yeah. Is there any spoiler-free thing you could share about it that really...
I'm worried. That's the problem. You can't really say anything without spoiling, but kid, it's very intricate.
Yeah.
I just liked how, like, you always felt like you needed to get the items, and sometimes the items didn't do...
Spoiler.
Didn't do
anything. Well, I think that's a fair point. There are a lot of dead ends. And time is absolutely a factor.
Just like Choose Your Own Adventure, there were dead ends, and we encountered several of them.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah. My biggest critique is the game could be a little more... the instructions could be a little more clear on a couple points.
It could be a little bit more forgiving with the timeline, too. It felt like that was not enough.
I think that was the point. But they were vague on a few items in the instruction book that we eventually figured out we were doing wrong because the instruction book just wasn't terribly clear. So that part was a little frustrating. But Time Stories, that one, amazing. Just amazing.
All right. So, we're going over
time. All right. Yeah, we're running over here. So let's go ahead and do this. Who's got a shameless plug? I bet producer Dan does.
Sure. If anybody needs DJ services, you can find me at epiceventsorlando.com. Hit me up, please, because I want to quit my day job.
Which is?
Not important.
Not important.
Danielle, what you got?
I finally started watching Arrow. I watched 3 episodes of it, and so far so good. I'm not really plugging it. I'm just letting you guys know what's going on in my life.
Don't plug it. Check. Is Arrow worth checking? Is Arrow worth checking out?
So far, but you guys keep telling me not.
As
a female, I'm enjoying it. I can see where they're gonna get soapy with it. I know where the love triangle is going to come from. I think there's a lot of cliches coming out of his return from the island. There's like the reactions from his family. A lot of it is cliched, but there's still enough mystery to keep me going.
Are you invested in the drama? Do you care about the characters?
Well, I love Katie Cassidy, who is playing Lauren Lane. She was also in Supernatural, but she is like, she's like a CW darling. She's been in Melrose Place. She's been in Gossip Girl.
Who does she play in Arrow?
Lauren Lane.
Oh, I don't know. I haven't watched it in so long. Was it the love interest?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The main girl.
Okay.
Laurel? Anyways.
We don't want to watch Arrow.
Yeah. Anyways, but she was the first Ruby.
Okay.
On Supernatural.
Okay.
She was blonde on Supernatural. Now she's brunette on this show. Anyways, she's like a CW darling. I love her. I think she's great. I like the guy that's playing Arrow. I love the sister, but again, that storyline's a little cliched right now for me, so I don't know.
Okay. For the most part, they really kept the canon from the comic books, too, on that.
What I am really interested in is finding out more about what happened to him on that island, because the story is...
Good news. You're going to find out.
No, I know, right. I am, because like the story like unfolding. I thought one of the funniest things, they were sitting at dinner and the friend was over and he was like, so what have you missed? Well, Lost. Turns out they were all dead or something like that. And I was like, okay, well, glad I didn't watch that. But spoilers. Well, I stopped watch. I tried to binge watch Lost and it just was not. But yes, I'm invested in the character. I'm interested in seeing, like, because I think it's... I like character development, and there is a huge character development right away, and it's this guy. All right, so, fair enough. Yeah.
And if you stick with it, they launched The Flash basically as a spinoff of that.
Okay. Yeah.
So you'll know exactly where to pick up.
Which, yeah. So, and
if you can make it that far. If you can't,
and then
okay,
and then I don't know how I'm going to watch it, if I'm going to watch like episode 1, like people did when it was actually on TV.
You may want to, because there are a number of crossovers.
That was what I was...
All right. Elijah, anything you have to shamelessly plug?
Listen to For Geek's Sake. I'm slowly, you know, learning more about this nerd stuff. As I listen to the podcast, it's good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And go
you listen to our podcast?
Sometimes.
I was going to say.
Not always. There's this girl on it that's really...
I hate her.
Actually, you know, I'm speaking of cliched. I actually am going to shamelessly plug our listeners. I got to tell you, so we've officially cleared 200 followers on our Facebook page.
Thank you very much.
We've officially cleared, according to Shout Engine, an estimated audience that's getting well into the 500s. Yay. And it's been amazing. Like, we're so excited and so thrilled to have be going to all. I mean, we haven't even been going for a year yet, and to have this is just a much bigger response than we thought we would get. And we're getting to the point now where it's really, really exciting, and I'm really, really grateful. We have something like 900 and something downloads so far this year, independent downloads. I don't know how Shout Engine calculates everything, to be fair. But
we'd love your feedback, all 500 of you, numbers. By the way. If you'd like to come to the Facebook page and follow us, and please put comments. Let us know what you like about the show, what you don't, that kind of thing.
Absolutely. We're really grateful. And if you guys ever want to come and hang out in the studio.
Suggestions for topics, anything like that, we are open.
And a physicist. Especially when it understands time travel.
One of you knows a physicist. I know it's true.
I've actually been calling and leaving random voicemails for physicists, and I think I may be driving.
I have a rocket scientist I might be able to get us from NASA.
That would be great. Yeah. We need a physicist here. Anyway,
you know,
so that's everything we've got. Danielle, why don't you tell them where they can find us?
You can find us on Facebook at For Geek's Sake. Please find us. Please like us. Please email us. Let us know what you like. Comment on our posts. Share our posts. We're super insecure. We need your love. We need your support. You can find us on the Twitter at For Geek's Sake, 2 S's. And, of course, subscribe to the podcast if you aren't already.
And that is going to do it for us. We want to thank everybody so much for hanging out and joining us. As always, this is Al Sterling on behalf of everybody here at For Geek's Sake saying, I don't know, maybe we'll move the plot along.